So our verse today is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
So a few years ago, I read a really great book called Faith for Exiles. In it, the authors David Kinnaman and Mark Matlock talk about five markers of young people who stay with their faith after they leave home. What originally interested me in the book was the title, Faith for Exiles. Kinnaman and Matlock are clear in their assertion that as followers of Jesus in the 21st century, we need to understand that we are exiles. We're exiles. We can only faithfully follow Jesus if we understand Jesus' challenge to us to be in the world, but not of the world. They say we need to adapt the same mindset as the Israelite captives who were sent to Babylon in the time of Daniel. Their assertion is that we need to have our eyes open about the world we live in. That, of course, there is beauty and joy here. But we need to remember that our home country is the kingdom of heaven. That we, you know, here in the United States are not primarily citizens of America, but citizens of heaven. That our ultimate goal is not the greatness or glory of any earthly kingdom of America or even the own little kingdoms we try to build for ourselves to our own glory, but our ultimate goal is the glory of God's kingdom. The authors of that book want us to remember that we are living for a kingdom that far exceeds anything this world has to offer. Somebody say amen. I am so grateful to know there is something better out there than what the kingdoms of this world have to offer, better than the kingdom I build for myself has to offer. I thought about this book a lot this week as I read through 1 Peter. 1 Peter is written to exiles. That's what Peter says, right, in the very first chapter of this letter. In chapter 1, he begins by saying, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect exiles, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. Peter's writing to exiles, people who are far from home, living outside of their native country, people who know they're guests here. They know they don't have political power. They know they're the outsiders. They're the ones who don't belong. Now, why does this matter? I'm telling you this because just like we talked about last week, when we think about what it looks like to be people who are marked by generosity, people, when we consider what it means to be people who give freely, it's important for us to remember our context. We are exiles. We're exiles. Eden is our home. The kingdom of God is our home. And this world is not yet fully surrendered to the kingdom of God. Peter wants his audience to remember that God's kingdom is coming. That's what he's saying in 1 Peter 4:7. He says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Just like we said last week, we need to be aware of our context. We sit between the resurrection of Jesus and the return of Jesus. And we're not quite there yet. The last days are lasting a while. But there is a day coming when all that is wrong will be made right. There is a day coming when everything sad will come untrue. There is a day when all the earth will live and move and breathe according to the way God designed it. And in that day, there will be no more tears. There will be no more death. There will be no more sickness, no more poverty, no more war, no more injustice, no more oppression. It's going to be beautiful. I can't wait for that day. And Peter is writing to people who know we're not quite there yet. These people know they aren't yet experiencing home like it's meant to be, who aren't yet experiencing peace like it's meant to be. And in this place of exile, in this place of outsider status, Peter's giving them instructions on how to live. He tells them to live lives of such generosity, integrity, and love that anyone who even thinks about saying something bad about them would be ashamed to utter it. That any bad thing someone would say about them would just be discounted as completely ridiculous. And in the midst of this long exhortation he's giving in this letter, as he begins chapter 4, Peter says, listen, you remember, you used to live like citizens of this world. You did. You have run after all the things this world says are important. You've run after money. You've run after sex. You've run after power. You've put yourself first and done whatever you could to find satisfaction for yourself. You've done that. And you know where that led. No place good. It left you empty. It left you always wanting more. It left you unsatisfied. And so now Peter's saying, try living like you're a part of God's world, God's kingdom. See if that doesn't leave you feeling more fulfilled. And that's where our verses for today pick up. That's where Peter gives us our challenge about giving freely. In these verses, Peter actually is giving us a new way to think about generosity, a new definition for generosity, if you will. He says, while you live as exiles, be generous. And here's how Peter defines generosity here. For Peter, generosity is showing love with your unique resources in a way that turns strangers into family. Generosity is showing love with your unique resources in a way that turns strangers into family. That's what we're going to talk about today, each part of that little definition of generosity from Peter. Generosity is showing love with your unique resources in a way that turns strangers into family. So let's talk first about those first few words. Generosity is showing love. In verse 8, Peter says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Above all, Peter says, the most important thing you can do while you're living as outsiders in this place, as you're living as exiles, as you are temporarily situated in a place where God's kingdom has not been fully realized, the best thing you can do to demonstrate the difference Christ has made in your lives is to love each other deeply. Love. Generosity for Peter is about love. He's about to talk about how utilizing our resources is a way to love, but Peter hits on the motivation first. Love. The witness of the Bible is that God is generous to humanity out of love, right? The most probably well-known Bible verse in the whole Bible is John 3:16. And how does this start? For God so what? Loved the world that he gave, right? God so loved the world that he gave. God loved, so he gave. Love and generosity are linked. As the old quote goes, sure, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Love requires giving. Love requires generosity. That's the story of the Bible. God loves humanity. Even when Adam and Eve, back in the beginning, chose their way and had to leave the garden, what did God do? God gave them what they needed. He gave them clothing. He provided for their needs. If you're a parent, you know, love means giving. You give your time, your energy, your money to your kids. When it's 10 p.m. and you really would like to go to sleep, but your teenager stops by to chat, you're going to give them your full attention because you love them enough to sacrifice your sleep. When your friend is moving, you're going to go give them your time to help them pack or clean their new place. When someone in your journey group has surgery, you're going to make a meal train and bring them food. You're going to visit them at the hospital. When your parents age and they can't do all the things they used to do, you're going to step in. You're going to give your time and your presence to support them. When you love, you give. Generosity is about love. Generosity is an outflow of love. So generosity is showing love. And Peter says you show love out of your unique resources, your unique resources. This is what he says in verses 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Last Sunday, I gave you all some homework. So if you weren't here last week, I guess you missed out on homework time. But I asked you to do a resource audit, to think about what resources do you have, your material belongings, your life experiences, your spiritual gifts, your relationships, just to get you thinking, to start making a list of what resources God has entrusted you with. Peter's saying, listen, take stock of the unique blend of resources God's given you, and then use that unique mix of gifts and talents and resources to show love to other people. Use your gifts. Peter says, use your gift as though it is God doing it through you. That's what Kate just said, right? When she has patience with a student, she can listen. When she says the right word at the right time, she knows it's God speaking through her. So if you have the gift of speaking words of encouragement, speak as though it is God speaking through you to that person, because it is. If you have the gift of service, of those little behind-the-scenes tasks, Peter says, serve as though God is serving the other person through you, because he is. Do you like to cook? My friend Megan loves to cook. She tells me that she's an Italian grandma on the inside. She loves to feed people. It brings her joy. That's how she shows love. So Megan feeds people. And as she does that, she is embodying Jesus with the loaves and the fishes, providing sustenance for hungry people. Jesus is feeding people through you, Megan. Do you like to write cards to encourage people? Our care team has a card ministry. Many of you have received these timely notes. And our dear sisters on this team are speaking to us the voice of Jesus, speaking words of encouragement and love and care. They are using their gifts to speak for Jesus to us. Maybe you like to do yard work. Today after church, some of our high school students, they're going to go do a yard cleanup for a family member of Harbor here who's been unwell. They are demonstrating the care and concern of our Heavenly Father as they use their young backs and hands to care for our community. Or maybe you're like Phil. Do y'all know Phil Marcotte? He has this super cool old fire truck that he brought to Trunk or Treat last year. And he just shared the joy of the Lord as he let all the kids push the buttons and make the sirens go and talk through the little loudspeaker thingy. Or maybe you're like Elise. Elise loves to bake. She's a fifth grader. Girl is going to own a bakery someday. Okay, guys, she's amazing. Her cakes are beautiful. Last weekend, she baked a cake for her yoga teacher's husband's birthday. That's how she loves. You are already doing this, is my point. I see it all the time. Everyone's using their gifts to love. It's beautiful. Listen, if you haven't spent the time to think through your resources, to put a finger on, oh yeah, I can do that, there's another way you could think about it. There's a church I stole a whole bunch of stuff from back in the day to help people think through this. And they use the word shape to think through the gifts God has given them. Shape. So spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. Five different ways of thinking about who you are. So spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are special abilities or talents given to us by God. Things like service, helping behind the scenes, or exhortation, the gift of speaking encouraging or challenging words to others that are just what they need to hear. Or mercy, the gift of feeling empathy toward others and identifying with what they are experiencing. Those are unique gifts that God has given each of us. And then the H is for heart. Heart, your passion. What do you have a passion for? Right? We talk about this every week during our prayer time. We all have a passion for different people and places, different social issues. Some of us are passionate about orphans. Some of us are passionate about the incarcerated. Some of us care deeply about those struggling with addiction. We've all been given a different passion for different people and places, and that's okay, and that's on purpose. Because no one of us can care about all the brokenness that happens in this world. So God gives each of us a little piece of his heart so that as the whole body of Christ, together we can care for everyone. We don't have to choose. That's heart. The A is for abilities. Abilities. Abilities are things that you can do, things that you've learned or practiced throughout your life, like playing a musical instrument or troubleshooting computer issues or playing a sport or working on cars. Those are abilities. The P is personality. How did God make you? Are you an introvert? Are you an extrovert? Do you prefer to have a plan or be spontaneous? Are you cautious or daring? Your personality was given to you by God on purpose. And it will impact the way you love others. And that's on purpose. And then finally, the E is for experiences. Experiences, they're the things that you have been through in your life. Your spiritual experiences, your educational experiences, your work experiences, even your painful experiences. All of what has happened to you in your life is up for grabs for our God. He can use absolutely everything that's ever happened to you for beautiful things. Even things that the world would call a liability are assets to God. So if you want to take some extended time to work through your shape, I happen to have a packet for you. So on the resource table, which is just out to my left here, there's a stack of they're little workbooks that you can work through on each of these things to spend some time deeply thinking through, who am I? How did God make me? How can I work out of my unique blend of gifts and skills and experiences and personality to serve? Your shape is unique. It's like fingerprints or snowflakes. No two are the same. You have a distinct mix of abilities and experiences and skills that make you different than any other person alive on earth. And Peter says that that unique blend has been given to you on purpose by God. As we wait for the return of Jesus, as we wait for the day when all will be as it should be, you've been uniquely gifted to serve people in a way that only you can. To love people in a way that only you can love them. Generosity for Peter is about showing love. It's about showing love by utilizing your distinct mix of gifts and abilities and resources. And for Peter, generosity has a purpose, a goal in mind. For Peter, generosity, loving people out of the resources God has given you, is intended to draw them into the family of God. That's what the word hospitality means. In verse 9, Peter says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Can we just do a deep dive on the word hospitality? Can we do that? Okay, I'm a nerd. The New Testament, where 1 Peter is, was not originally written in English, okay? It comes to us by way of the ancient Greek language. So 1 Peter was originally written in Greek. And the word that we see translated as hospitality in our Bibles is translated from the Greek word philoxenos. Philoxenos. It's made up of two words, philos and xenos. Philos means friend, and xenos means stranger, foreigner. Hospitality is about turning strangers into friends, foreigners into family. Hospitality is the opposite of xenophobia, right? Where we fear people who are different, where we stereotype and keep our distance from people who are not like us. And for the exiles Peter is writing to, xenophobia probably felt like the safest bet. Could they really trust the people around them who were so different from them? Would these Roman citizens turn them into the authorities for not worshiping Caesar? where they mock their Christian customs. These early Christians were themselves the outsiders in a foreign land. Hospitality was risky. But Peter says, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Show hospitality. Reach out to people who aren't like you and serve them with whatever resources you have in such a winsome way that they want in on the family of God. Peter says, in a hostile world, in a hostile world where we are exiles and strangers, in a world where trust is in low supply, where hostility is rampant, where distrust and suspicion are the normal way people interact, generous hospitality is how we demonstrate the love of God. Hospitality is how we invite people to experience this beautiful little pocket of heaven on earth that is the church as it's meant to be. Hospitality. Harbor. Peter is saying that generosity is powerful. It's powerful. I remember hearing a pastor speak at a church leadership conference years ago, and he said, you know, these days, all you have to be is like a little bit kind, and it makes a big impact. Just like a little bit of kindness goes such a long way. So man, what would it look like if 100 of us got real intentional about noting our resources and looking for ways every day to give what we have so that we can turn strangers into family? When I was thinking about this passage and what it says about generosity this week, I couldn't help but think about quilting. Katie, you don't quilt. That's true. But I have friends that do. So when I read 1 Peter 4 this week, I got caught on a word in 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, various variety. Our gifts are varied. Our personalities are varied. Our resources are varied. As we've said, we're all different. And that's on purpose. That word various, it's the same word that in the Greek translation of the Old Testament describes Joseph's coat. In the story of Joseph and his fancy coat, Joseph and the amazing Technicolor dream coat, that's the same word for Peter's various gifts here. How loud would our world be if everyone was an extrovert? Whew. How hungry would we be if people only knew how to paint? No one knew how to cook. How lonely would we all be if no one had the spiritual gift of mercy, of sitting with people in pain? When I think of the beauty of God's design in us as a church, I think of quilting. Quilting's pretty amazing, and I am extremely impressed with people who can quilt, because quilters have to see this big picture. They look at a pile of scraps like this, and they see something beautiful. I think of God as a quilter, right? God sees his people, his church, and he's made us all different on purpose. He gave, you know, April, he gave you gifts in administration. Sweet Michaela, who's recovering in the hospital from surgery this morning, God gave her gifts in generosity. She's such a generous person. Paul Travers, my goodness, that guy has gifts in service for days. Beautiful. Stephen, gosh, God's given you gifts in wisdom. God gave me gifts in exhortation. I'm kind of a loudmouth. I can use that for good. And where I might see a pile of scraps, beautiful scraps, but just scraps, what God sees is more like something Cricket LaMica can make out of these scraps. Matt and Jeremy, could I have you guys come help me with something real quick? Thanks. See, on our own, we're a pile of scraps, very pretty scraps. But what's really beautiful, what's really impressive, is when all these scraps come together. Right? When each scrap takes its place in the bigger picture. When Luann uses her gifts of mercy to walk with someone in a hard time, and my friend Brian uses his gift of giving to help a family in need, and when Rosemary uses her gift of exhortation to encourage us and stir us up, and when Sherry uses her gifts of hospitality to make us feel like we're belonging in her family, and when Ken uses his gifts of wisdom and joy to help us find joy in God's love for us, and so on and so on, the cumulative impact of all these little acts of generosity add up, and they create something beautiful. They create a place where people who used to be like strangers feel more like family now. A place where people who have nothing in common but Jesus become an integral part of each other's lives. As each of us uses our individual and unique set of gifts and skills, we create a culture of generosity and hospitality that our world is desperate for. Thanks, guys. I say all the time that Harbor is a really special place. I'm obviously very biased, but it is a special place, and it's supposed to be. That's what happens when everyone puts their unique blend of gifts and talents and personalities to work. We end up with a vibrant, loving, authentic, and joy-filled community that cannot help but draw others in. Friends, you have been given a unique blend of personality, gifts, experiences on purpose. And God wants you to use them to make this world beautiful. Listen, Harbor cannot be the church we are intended by God to be if all of us aren't using our gifts and abilities to love and serve and welcome each other. So, my invitation to you this week is to accept God's invitation to you, to love deeply out of your unique blend of gifts in a way that helps turn strangers into family. That is, after all, what the gospel is all about, bringing estranged people back into God's family. That's what Jesus did on the cross. That's what we remember when we take communion together every week. He made the way for us to be reconciled with God, to be reconciled to each other. The gospel is all about turning strangers into family. So let's keep doing that, Harbor. Keep doing that. Get to know your unique shape and love each other deeply with beautiful hospitality that invites our lonely and desperate world into the family of God. Let's pray and then come and receive these reminders of what Jesus did for us, of his great hospitality and generosity to us. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Father, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that your love prompted generosity. I'm so thankful to be a part of a community that does this so well, that gives of ourselves with our resources, our skills, our personalities, our spiritual gifts. And God, my prayer is just that you help us to keep doing that more and more, to keep appreciating the beauty of this diverse patchwork quilt you are making here at Harbor. Help us each to play our part as we realize more and more how generous you are to us. Help that overflow out in acts of generosity to the world around us that invite people into this beautiful family we found. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.